Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Employers, simplify your pension scheme with a Zurich Master Trust. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie.
You join us once again as the former President Donald Trump is about to leave Trump Tower in New York for the Manhattan Criminal Court. He's waving to the crowd now outside Trump Tower as he is about to enter his vehicle. He's on his way to Manhattan Criminal Court in the coming moments. CNN is reporting that he's travelling with a cameraman and has been doing so since he left Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida earlier today. The videographer is there to record the behind the scenes of Trump's surrender. That's what their party is saying. It's thought, though, that he's hoping to milk this publicity for electoral gain. So can Donald Trump generate political capital from this moment? A hugely significant historical moment in the US. The first sitting or former president to be charged with criminal on indictment for criminal charges. His opponents would hope that this would lead to his downfall, but he has other plans. Gunnar Raimer is political director of the Republican Accountability PAC, and he joins me now. Gunnar, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the engines are off and he's on his way to court. Your organization representing Republicans, you think the party needs to move on from Donald Trump. But the scenes we're witnessing now as he's on his way to the courthouse in Manhattan are extraordinary. What do you make of what you're watching?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think the first thing is that, yes, our organization does want the Republican Party to move on from Donald Trump. But I think a problem within the Republican Party is that Republican Party primary voters do not want to move on from Donald Trump. He very much owns the Republican Party still. And it's very interesting. We did a focus group last week. We've done 7 focus groups this year with 2-time Trump voters. They voted for Donald Trump in the general election in 2016 and 2020. And for the first time this year, all of the Republican primary voters in this group wanted Donald Trump as their nominee. And there had been some slippage for Trump during the January 6th committee hearings and after the Republicans' poor performance in November. But no, Donald Trump very much owns the Republican Party. And in the short term, this indictment is going to help him more than hurt.
Why is that, Gunnar? Because we spoke with Matt Klink, who I'm sure you know, earlier in the program. He was saying the same thing, that this indictment has propelled him way ahead of his rivals in the Republican Party for the nomination. Is it the sense of injustice here that they feel?
That's right. Donald Trump says it often that it's not that they're going after him exactly. It's that they're going after you, the Republican primary voter. And there is this rooted in the Republican Party right now is this idea of stoking culture wars and victimhood that, you know, Republicans very much get behind. It's what Donald Trump instilled and really exploited within the Republican Party in 2015 and 2016.
Mm-hmm. Voters, though, are swayed by what elected representatives say. And this is what I'm really keen to get your thinking on this, Gunnar, because congressional Republicans, right? Ever since the charges have been brought against Donald Trump, we knew this indictment and arraignment and high drama would happen today. Those guys have consistently condemned Trump's indictment as politically motivated. Now, if you want to move away from Trump as a party, why say stuff like that?
Yeah, because oftentimes they have to get reelected and they are scared of the Republican primary electorate. And, you know, when you're talking about people in the House, these are people that get elected every 2 years, right? They're starting to file to run again. And the idea of going after Trump, I mean, look at what happened in 2022. There were 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach. 7 of them, you know, either lost reelection or retired. And, you know, with the 3 that were remaining, they sort of got lucky with the election rules in their own respective states. So, yeah, to go after Donald Trump is sort of a death wish when you're dealing with Republican primary voters. But that being said, I just want to make one thing clear, mm-hmm. that Trump's indictment still hurts him with swing voters. We saw in 2018 with Democrats, you know, doing well. We saw in 2020 with Trump losing, and 2022 his candidates doing very poorly in these swing states, that we have 3 clear data points that swing voters still reject Donald Trump. And it is one thing to win a Republican primary, but it is another to win a general election. And I think when we're talking about November, Republicans are in a very poor position if Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president.
Yeah, it's got to be difficult. I mean, why don't they take their lead, those, let's call them mid-ranking elected politicians for the Republican Party, who say it's a witch hunt, it's unfair, it's unjust, this indictment of Trump. Why don't they take their lead? If they're afraid of Trump and afraid of the electorate, let's say, why don't they take their lead from his VP, Mike Pence? He said, I honestly believe that we'll have better choices by the fall of 2024 in relation to the Trump candidacy.
The problem with Mike Pence is, you know, when we do these Republican Republican voter focus groups, is that there is just no interest and appetite at all for a Mike Pence type of candidacy. So that's why you see these Republicans, these House Republicans and even Senate Republicans, not running away from Trump, but running to Trump's side. And it's not that the party has shifted to be more conservative or anything like that. It's that the party has shifted Trumpward. But again, that gulf between what it means to get elected or nominated in a primary and elected in a general is becoming so wide that Republicans are really putting themselves in poor positions.
My God, it's chilling when you say that, though, because this guy's playing card, Donald Trump, when he was president and in any campaign, was subversion and lies. And even in the last few hours, I read this email that he sent to supporters. He said, today is a day that a ruling political party arrests its leading opponent for having committed no crime. Our nation is becoming a Marxist third world country that criminalizes dissent and imprisons its political opposition. We're a nation that declared independence. And so on. It goes on about empires and two world wars and landing the first man on the moon. Resilience, he said, is in our blood. Our movement has overcome so much, and there is no doubt in my mind that we will prevail once again and win the White House in 2024. Now, the big problem for your party, Gunnar, is that when they stand with a man like that, saying stuff like that, where is the ethical and moral compass of the party?
It's difficult, but as we've seen in the news, I think Donald Trump has now raised more than $5 million to his presidential campaign. But doing this and acting like this, there's an incentive to act like this, right? They get rewarded with money and winning elections. So I think that, to your point, it's a sad state of affairs for the Republican Party, but you have to acknowledge reality and say this is where the party is at right now.
You think he won't end up being the nominee for the Republicans in the presidential campaign. Is that right?
I'm not sure. So what can happen is the clear alternative right now for Republican primary voters is Ron DeSantis. But the problem is, and he's the Florida governor, but the problem with DeSantis is that voters see him on Fox News, which is a popular conservative television network, news network. They see him on YouTube or something like that, and they like him a little bit. But the problem is, what happens if Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis are on the debate stage? And we saw what happened in 2016 when Donald Trump took each candidate one by one and picked them off. So what happens if DeSantis and Trump are on the same debate stage and you have Trump going after DeSantis? Mm-hmm. I think that could really affect a potential DeSantis candidacy. That being said, in the short term, as we've discussed, I think it helps Donald Trump. It makes people rally around Donald Trump. But the thing is that this indictment, and there are more indictments that could be coming down the line too, what this indictment can do is serve as another point for these Republican primary voters to say Donald Trump has too much baggage, that it's not about that they don't like Donald Trump anymore. No, they still very much like Donald Trump. But when I say that the clear alternative has been DeSantis, they call him Trump not on steroids, Trump without the baggage. And they see they're playing this political, this armchair politics game of who is the candidate that is most electable and can beat Joe Biden in 2024. And it's not about me making this personal decision about not liking Trump. It's about acknowledging that other people, these swing voters, don't like Donald Trump. So I think that it's too early to tell right now what this indictment is going to do. But I will say that this short-term rally around Trump is very real.
Yeah. We're told that he will address the crowd and the media before he goes into court. Although I think, Gunnar, he's been told by his legal counsel not to say too much. So I think he's going to say just one line. I'm watching pictures now of his black Merc cavalcade making their way to Manhattan to the courthouse. And I just wonder, And I know you're wondering the same. You're probably watching these images of so many millions around the world. Is he on his way to doom or a springboard to success?
Yeah, that's right. And that's this open question that we keep on talking about. And the thing that we have seen in the focus groups, that there is this rally around Trump. We even asked them, does this indictment make you more likely to donate to him? And the answer was resoundingly yes. So I think that in the short term, the rally around Trump is very real. The outstanding question is, though, does this serve as another data point of political baggage that ultimately makes him less electable? And it has nothing to do with them viewing him favorably or not. It just has them sort of acknowledging that, you know, my friends and family don't like him and swing voters don't like him. Yeah. So we should probably shop around for another candidate.
Okay, I do understand. Before I let you go, in one word, I don't know if you heard Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene speaking on US television in the last hour or so. She said Donald Trump is being persecuted here like Nelson Mandela and Jesus Christ. Did you hear that?
I did, yes.
Do you agree?
I'd say that Marjorie Taylor Greene, well, no, I don't agree with Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, but I will just say that, you know, she these comments, which I think are ludicrous and ridiculous, she's not going to get punished for it at all. Her district that she represents is incredibly right-leaning. It has much more Republicans, and in a Republican primary, it's not going to affect her at all. She had a challenger last cycle and, you know, was very... easily ran away with the Republican nomination. So okay.
You make a valid
Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments.
Yeah, you make a valid point. Okay, look, we'll leave it there. He's on his way to court. Gunnar Raymer, political director with Republican Accountability PAC. Thank you very much indeed.